Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, guys say whatever you're going to say. I really don't care. That's the thing with, like, bullets and board material that I never understood. It's, like, was I not going to play hard before he said that? So it's like, I'm going to play the same way I was going to play. Like, if you need bullets and board material to go play how you need to play, then that's a problem on you. So, I mean, I guess he's trying to get himself right for the game, and, you know, we're doing the same thing. So, you know, we'll see you on Sunday, but we're excited to go out there.
And for some reason, I believe Kyle Hamilton in that. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan, broadcasting live from Rogers Center in Toronto, Ontario. Ed and Jeremy broadcasting live in Baltimore, 105.7 Fan Studios. Ed, this is what I believe. I believe bulletin board material, to a certain extent, does it affect you? Does it impact what you're picking about the game and your opponent? Yeah, it could. But once the game begins, if you're still motivated by that, you tend to play a more selfish brand of football because it becomes more about you and him. And, Jeremy, you've seen it in basketball where players are more trying to prove themselves versus a player than execute the game plan. I think bulletin board material, Ed, can do that as well in football.
It definitely can because we've seen it. We've seen all of the NFL, actually, if you think about it. I mean, think about when you see, like Mike Evans and Marshon Lattimore, right?
They hate each other.
They end up, it becomes like the play's dead and they're literally fighting on the field. They're fighting during the route. They're both pushing, holding, pulling. The whistle blows. It's still, and I think that distracts him from the game sometimes, which I think, and I love Mike Evans, but I think Lattimore's got him in his head.
And you forget the 15-yard penalty could impact that drive or field possession and things like that. You become selfish and more about you, Jeremy.
Look, I think it's, you hate seeing it as a coach, right? It's kind of weird when you see a coach give some bulletin board material. But ultimately, Kyle Hamilton's right. I mean, if you've played a sport, you should not need anything to get you up for the sport. But we have seen guys try to gain an extra edge. Do you remember the the Jags D lineman that was from Tennessee that would have, whoever it was, their doctor on the sideline or whatever, one of the trainers, he'd have him come up and slap him. Was it John Henderson?
Yes.
He'd have him slap him in the face. And does he need that to get ready? No, but for some reason he wants it. And I feel like when you put stuff out there, like the one guy that I think could look at that bulletin board material would be Derrick Henry when he wants find Delpit and go, where's he at? He's running
the football. Some people are motivated by either slapping the face or a hand around the throat.
Well, no, sorry, Ed, can you speak of that? Ed's if you don't like to be choked, you better learn how.
you said earlier, Ed, you said something about Derrick Henry. I'm sure if he gets through, he'll look for Delpit. He probably will.
Yeah.
But if he's to his left, and open daylight is to the right, you can get in the open field. To me, it's still a little selfish play. That's still, I know you want to hit that guy, but if you ran a little bit to your right, you pick up more. You maybe get to the end zone. But that's what happens when you're motivated by bulletin board material. It gets you off your game. It gets you off that team mindset, and now you're on to more of a selfish mindset.
Yeah, you take a break for a little stiff arm to the turf, and then go right. That's going to happen.
Yeah, look, I don't think Derrick Henry's the guy that's, I mean, all jokes aside, is going to go out of his way to try to go get this guy and leave. Like, if the Ravens were up 3 touchdowns and it's late in the game, maybe you find him because he's going to have to be around you at some point. He's a safety. He's going to be coming up in the box.
Yep.
So you're going to run into him at some point if he gets his, whatever, 15 to 20 carries. But again, the whole bulletin board material, we all circle it and talk about it because it makes life easier here to sit here and go, can you believe what he said? And everybody likes all the, what is it, he said, she said stuff.
Well, Jeremy, we're not making it up.
No.
This really happened. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, it's not like, yeah, well, why you guys thought about it? Because it happened. We don't have to like it, but nobody's making this up. And you know what else? I understand, Delpit, you're the man and all, but if I'm Miles Harden or Denzel Ward, and I'm 5'11", and I'm 190, dude, shut your mouth. Because you may not get an open field situation against Derrick Henry, and I might get that. Then now you got this guy all amped up, and my 5'11", 190-pound behind has to tackle him in the open field. I just might make a business decision. Cramp. Slipped. Dirt in my eye. Something might happen that doesn't normally happen, all because you got him amped up. So the flip side is Mr. Delpit may have put one of his teammates in harm's way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like the guy, you know, the guy, your friend at a bar who starts a fight and kind of doesn't get involved in it. He's got a wise comment for everybody.
Yeah.
There's he's always like that guy.
Or the lady that talks trash to some other dude in the bar and gets her boyfriend or husband smacked.
Wait till my boyfriend.
You know what happened a lot?
I know.
Car stops.
Oh, really?
For me.
Oh, yeah.
I'd pull a guy over, and he'd be polite as hell, and his girlfriend be just ripping into me and the usual stuff. And I'm like, I said, get her under control, and this will go well. Like, seriously, because Never mind.
I mean, I think it's something you've seen your whole life, or that it doesn't have to be you in the relationship, but we've all seen somebody where some girl is spouting off, and it's like, my boyfriend will kick your ass, and it's like, I will? Why? Why don't you do it?
I had a friend like that. It's funny. I had a friend I grew up with. His name is Billy. He would get drunk and have his beer muscles on, and he was like the thinnest guy. He couldn't fight. Had the biggest mouth, would get in, but he had everybody with him.
Yeah.
My roommate in college, Michael, had his arm was as big as my second or third degree black belt. John was a nose guard for Syracuse. Pete was the center for West Virginia, 6'5", 280. I boxed. We all could fight.
Except he would start, mouth.
Yes, every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
I told you, I had a friend that did that where he was the most mouthy person in the world, and he was the only person that would never get hit. Other people in the group would end up in the fights. I mean, I think we all probably have someone similar to that in our life.
Yeah. By the way, Jeremy, that whole thing you did, the world stupid, what you call a whore off.
Yeah.
My buddy said, is there a place to sign up for that? his name is going to remain anonymous.
Does it rhyme with anything?
It rhymes with Tommy Loveless. With a rob.
Man.
Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, we're talking football with WJZ's anchor, Rick Ritter, up next on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
9:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. We have not heard from Antonio. So it's half Friday.
Yeah.
The other half would be hearing from Antonio.
But is he on vacation? Because I don't think we've heard
He's from... in Sicily.
Yeah. He's in Sicily.
Don't present to me the problem, present the solution. We need to hear from Antonio. No,
what joking. Time's it in Sicily? Get your ass up, no, Antonio.
I have no idea what time it is in Sicily. I know what time it is in Toronto, because I'm in Rogers Center right now. It's the same time. It's 9:15, 9:16 in the a.m. And you got some tickets to give away over there,
yes,
Jeremy?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Two weekend passes to the Atlas Cup, happening September 26th to the 28th at Tierney Field at USA Lacrosse headquarters in Sparks. See the world's top lacrosse players play, courtesy of USA Lacrosse. Caller number 5-410-583-1057.
Joining us right now from WJZ TV, he's the anchor. He's Rick Ritter. Courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline. What's up, Rick?
QPYT. Happy Friday, boys.
Happy Friday. Absolutely.
Now, Rick, if I would have told you that the Ravens would score 40 points against the Buffalo Bills on the road, you would say they're going to face the Browns 1-0. But they did score 40, and they faced the Browns 0-1. You can say they could have scored more, but it's a tough ask. What went wrong on Sunday night?
I mean, it's just
an epic meltdown, and you guys have talked about it all week long, and I laugh at the people that are saying it's 1 week, it's not a big deal, it's a long season to go. No, it's a big deal, because this is what we've seen year after year with this team. It's the same MO. So how can it not be a big deal? You saw it at the end of last season in the playoffs. You see it to start off this year. This team does not have that gene to get over the hump when it matters most. That doesn't mean it can't be developed. That doesn't mean that somebody can't step up. But my God, something has to change, because unless you sign up to have a great regular season record and win MVPs and make a playoff run, you're in the wrong sport, because you play to win Super Bowls here. And that's what you're trying to do with this team. And when you sit back and you look at the talent, not just on this team this year, not just last year, but really in the past 5 years, this is a squad that, if not for epic meltdowns and for constantly beating themselves, they should have one Super Bowl in the bag right now, if not two. And it's sad to think that that's where we are.
Rick, if you could put your point to anything, I mean, there's been so many different ways they've lost these close games. Drop two-point conversions, drop passes, fumbles, Lamar fumbling, fumbles through the end zone. What do you attribute this to?
I mean, personally, I think it's a lack of leadership. I think when you get into times like these and crunch times in the game, who is the guy in the huddle, who is the guy on the defensive side of the football that's stepping up and is literally carrying your team to that next point? It's not just the guys in the huddle, it's the guy on the sideline too. I mean, it's this situation in all, and we'll get to Harbaugh in a second, reminds me so much of Andy Reid in Philadelphia years ago and where they were, how they kept getting so close, so close, so close, but just couldn't close the door. And I feel like that's where this team is right now. But from a leadership perspective, somebody's got to step up and carry these guys to the last 3-4 minutes of the game and be like, hey, what's happened the past 10 times that we've had a lead in the fourth quarter in big moments? We're not going to shoot ourselves in the foot again. I mean, the offensive side of the ball, they played phenomenal the other night. You really can't ask for much more from your offense. Putting the ball in the air, running the ball on the ground, controlling the trenches. Lamar looking like MVP form, and Lamar like 3 years ago, lighter, faster, quicker. I mean, the offense just lights out in all aspects. Of course, though, you look at Derrick Henry, the fumble. Big-time players don't make those moments, don't make those plays in big-time moments. You don't have those mental collapses and hold on to the football. You know, at the end of the game, when they're down by 15, that they're coming to rip that ball out. They're not going for the tackle. They're going to strip that ball. They're trying to pull it out. Hold it with two hands. What are you doing? And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you could point the finger a million different ways. The pass rush, non-existent. All we heard all offseason in training camp, this pass rush, this interior line, the guys on the edge, Mike Green, wait till you see. Where were they? Nobody was found. The defensive play call, the defensive front that you were in, what were you doing? Not rushing anybody, letting Josh Allen drive down the field and get in the field goal range. And Jair Alexander, who looks like a shell of the guy 4 years ago. I mean, if that's what we're going to get all season from him, we might as well just get him off the field right now.
It's funny you brought up the Eagles comparing it to the Ravens, because I went with the not necessarily the playoff stuff, but when they were talking about they couldn't close out games with Westbrook because he was too small, and then teams would come back on him, and it kind of built this narrative, and I feel like that's what's happening with the Ravens now. But I do want to talk about your Eagles, because I think they're in the biggest matchup of the weekend as they head to Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, it's hitting on that point real quick. I think back to the Eagles going to 5 straight NFC championship games, and they go to 1 Super Bowl, and they lose to New England, and Andy Reid, just phenomenal coach. You guys know the history, the coaching tree. He just couldn't get him over the hump. And I mean, at what point, and I'm not saying it has to happen now, but if we're sitting here in January in the same situation where they can't get over the hump again, they shoot themselves in the foot, at what point do you go for a change? Because again, you don't settle for playoff runs, especially when you have Lamar Jackson, this much talent. Back to the Eagles, they play Kansas City this week. Kansas City beat up. You guys know the injuries for sure. Eagles going in there. Their defense, little shaky. I said that at the start of the year, that their secondary was a little questionable, especially at that second corner spot. Back end of the safeties as well. You lose Darius Slay. You have some changes there. But as long as they can get pressure up front again on Mahomes and keep that going, and then with the offense, it's controlling the game, running the football. So much noise about A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, not getting targets last week. This Eagles team is not going to throw the ball 40 times a game. They will control the line of scrimmage. They will control the clock. they will run with Saquon and Jalen, and that's what makes them so dangerous. They're able to control the tempo like that and make you have to play for behind once they get going.
All right, Rick. Ravens hosting the Cleveland Browns. Give me a winner and a score.
Ravens win 27-17. I think Joe Flacco is going to put up some numbers in this, though. You can't tell me that that guy is not going to be motivated for this matchup. But it is a long season, and my God, I hope that we're not sitting here having the same conversation in January. And I know you guys spoke about it all week long. I'm just getting a chance to talk about it now, but frustrating and sad is an understatement.
He can be motivated as all as he wants. If the Ravens put him on his ass, he can just be motivated to get back up. Don't worry about that motivation. Hey, what you got going on this week and the next week?
So Purple Pregame Show on WJZ live from the Tailgate tomorrow. Jimmy's Famous Seafood, that starts at 11 and 11:30. And then this week at Jimmy's on Wednesday, Purple Playbook Show with Isaiah Likely. And I have a feeling Isaiah might be making an announcement about getting back on track to play next week against the Lions.
Man, there you go. Thanks a lot, Rick. Talk to you next Friday.
Guys, sounds good. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
See you, too, man. I love our Friday guests, man. We just have great Friday guests. Lee, Mike, Rick. And also, Jeremy, your daily line is always good. But for me, it's so much better than football season because you got a little bit of NFL going on. You got college. This time of year, you have playoff-relevant baseball games. So today, what you got for us?
Rob, you start off with that new edition, naming all these names. If I like the picks, who cares who you like? Sorry.
Cool. All right, cool it now. Cool it now.
Yeah, I went 3-2 last night. We hit the football, both football plays. Very kind second half for NC State. That damn game started off with a kickoff return for a touchdown for Wake. Throwing stuff at the TV. But I'll tell you where you look this weekend. There are some great spots today, including one of the best baseball spots coming up. I'll tell you where that is. Go over some NFL and college football games as well. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
Untouched pressure picked off. Isaiah Shirley. Touchdown. Here comes the blitz. Picked up. Touchdown, NC State. Bailey to throw. Touchdown, NC State.
Yeah, that's a nice second half, right? There's nothing worse than handy. Well, I don't want to say. I think I've said this a couple times. There's nothing worse than this. By the way, it's courtesy of ESPN. That when you handicap a baseball game and you watch your starting pitcher just doesn't have it, and that's what you went by, and you're like, ah, this sucks. Same thing with a football game. You handicap the hell out of it. You think you found an edge, and you're like, man, Wake is just, they're going to struggle for a while. And then they open up the damn game with a kickoff return for a touchdown. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. But they were outscored by 17 in the second half, and that's what really helped us out with the NC State cover. Had the Green Bay under last night with Washington, and I was a little pissed off because JCM did not get the touches I thought he was going to get. Good old Bill. But it looks like moving forward, they're going to have to give him some touches because Austin Eckler went down with an Achilles injury, and his season, maybe his career is over. We'll have to wait and see, but that was terrible to see last night.
That Achilles was at his age. That's tough, Jeremy.
Yeah. And so I did hit the one. Ed and I were talking. I don't know if I said this on the air, but like I had Romeo Doubs under 3.5 receptions. I think after the first drive, he had 3 receptions. And I went, well, hell, man, I can't catch a break tonight. And he ain't catch another pass the whole game. So we hit that prop play, but missed out on the other two. Now, with today, let me run through today real quick, and then I'll talk a little bit about this weekend and what I'm seeing as I think it's NFL Week 2 overreaction weekend. In college football, I do like Colorado and Houston to go under the 45.5. I think Colorado's a live dog tonight. There's a lot of unknowns about the quarterback switch that they're making and what he's going to look like in this offense because their offense isn't great, but I do think their defense is better than you think. And UCLA minus 15.5. I think UCLA gets it done tonight. They're 0-2, and they've looked absolutely dreadful against Utah, and then somebody boat raced them. I can't remember who it was now, but when you look at who New Mexico's played, it doesn't give you – you're not looking at it going, oh, man, New Mexico, that's a tough team. I think the talent shows out. There's more talent at UCLA. They're at home. I think they handle business and blow out New Mexico. Now, as far as baseball goes – we get Jacob DeGrom going back to Citi Field, and I know everybody wants to bet on him, and I get it. Oh, it's cool. He's going up against his former team. Remember, revenge narrative, all that stuff. Well, he's going up against Jonah Tong, and if you haven't seen Jonah Tong, this kid is, he's going to be ridiculous, I think. 12 Ks through two games. He's got a 4-run ERA. I think that's going to come down as you start to see him pitch more and more. I think young players that are flamethrowers like him get up for these games. I like the Mets to win tonight, but I also like Jonah Tong over his 5.5 Ks. It's minus 130, but I think it's a really good spot for him to get over that against Texas, who is a middle-of-the-pack strikeout team. I like the White Sox and Guardians to go under the 7.5. Weather supports that greatly. And speaking of weather, Cubs under, Mets under, Red Sox under, Twins over, Dodgers over. That's what the algorithm supports. I love the Orioles. Good. Take a sip. Take a sip of that coffee. Toronto, Baltimore. I like this game to go under as well. Chris Bassett against the Orioles. But on the flip side, it's Trevor Rogers against the Jays. Jays strike out less than any team in baseball, but I don't think Trevor Rogers needs to get K's. Just some soft contact, go deep in the game. And I think this game stays under. But
I think it's going to be a pitcher's duel as well.
Yeah. Bassett is one of those weird guys because when he doesn't have it, you're going to watch him put guys on base just all game and see if he can work through it. But he has been much, much better at home than he has been on the road. Now, my favorite play today, and it's not even close, is the Cubs and Rays under at 7.5. Yeah. It's Matthew Boyd taking on Shane Boz, and you're going, Boyd and Boz? Why do I need that? The wind is blowing in at Wrigley. Very cold temps. Both are fly ball pitchers. And as I always say, it doesn't negate home runs, but it does make them harder to hit. You could find a spot where the pitch is right, you get a hold of a ball, and the wind's, it's dying down, and get one to go out. But usually in spots like this, it makes it very, very difficult to hit home runs, which means you need to get nickel and dimed. You need singles. Guys need to have big innings or a bunch of hits. And I just don't see it happening. I think both teams and both guys grade out extremely well in my drink algorithm. So with this weekend, though, again, the Cubs under my favorite play today. And I like a Nerfy there. You like Nerfies and Yerfies? You know what they are? That would be yes run first inning, no run first inning. I like no runs in the first inning there. One of the other things through research, and he's the number one hitter on the board today. He's minus 155. Bobby Witt going up against Walker Buehler. I just double checked to make sure that my stats were right. Yeah, Walker Buehler sucks. Check him again. Yeah, he still sucks. That guy is just trash. And here he is, a right-handed pitcher, and right-handed batters are just annihilating him. But it's not like left-handed batters aren't either. He just gets hit by everyone. So Bobby Witt over 1.5 bases looks good. Now for this weekend, we kind of touched on college football and pro. I'm just going to throw out a couple of games that I really like. I like Alabama to rout Wisconsin. I think Georgia Tech's a live dog against Clemson. I think Florida keeps it close against LSU, but full disclosure, I don't think I'm betting that game. Mm-hmm. But it was one of the things I looked at that, again, if Florida holds on and wins against South Florida, I don't think people are looking at this LSU game the way that they lost the game, so now the line gets inflated. Right. And I feel like it's just a better spot for them to cover against this LSU team. On the flip side, there's a lot of interesting games this weekend where we have these top 25 matchups, and my favorite play of the weekend might be Ole Miss. I just think Ole Miss handles Arkansas, and it's a good spot there. On Sunday, I mean, we've talked about it. This is overreaction week two. I'm just going to tell you, Tennessee is better than you think. The Chiefs have their home opener this weekend. Indianapolis is better than you think. The Bills are in a terrible spot against the Jets. Does it mean they don't win and cover? No, but I'm taking the Jets there because I think coming off of Sunday Night Football and that emotional win. And oh, by the way, I know Derrick Henry's a different cat, but what did he have? He had three rushes of over, 20-some yards, yeah, including a 50-yarder. Breece Hall, how you doing? Because he'll be in all my DFS lineups because you look at it, if he gets outside and he's able to break one off on this Bills team and with that secondary, I mean, Garrett Wilson looked good last week. I just feel like the Jets are going to keep this game close. I'm not telling you they're going to win, but it is a really intriguing spot. And I'll give out one of my favorite plays. I don't know how more people aren't on this. Cincinnati and Jacksonville to go over the total. Cincinnati last week allowed the Browns in a bad weather condition with the wind blowing to move up and down the field on them. Only problem is that the Browns realized they're the Browns and they did Browns-like things. Turn the ball over. Let's have a penalty that takes us out of this range. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going for it on fourth down. Whoop, nobody protected anyone. So they did all that stuff. And with all that being said, Jacksonville moved up and down the field on Carolina, and had they not blown them out, I think you may have seen them score even more points. Don't forget they finished the game basically in the red zone running out the clock as well. And on the flip side, Carolina moved the ball up and down the field all over Jacksonville, especially in the second half, and got stalled at the one, got stalled on fourth down in the red zone, turned it over on the other side of the field. I'm just telling you, Cincinnati's offense is it's definitely not as bad as they looked in week 1 against the Browns. Jacksonville's defense isn't good. And oh, by the way, last time I checked, Cincinnati's defense is worser. It's the worsest of the defenses. I think they're going to be terrible. Give me the over here. Brian Thomas with a big game. Jamar Chase with a big game. I think T. Higgins shows out. And I think Travis Etienne has a big game. This is going to be my favorite daily fantasy stack of the weekend. It's just messing around with this game in all different ways. But I think Cincinnati and Jacksonville go over. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much, Jeremy Kahn. 410-583-1057 is the number. What are your thoughts on the South Carolina game?
Yeah, man. Like, I really like Lenoris. I think that they, you know, it's funny, man, I closed it out. I wish I had it back up when we were looking at, you were looking at MVP, but I also had Heisman next to it because he went up after week 1. And I think for the sake of it, Rob, he's going to need some signature games on there really to help him out with the talent that's around, you know, like the talented players that are across the board in this country in college football. I just think that it's going to be tough for him to kind of get that award, but I think South Carolina is going to have an excellent season this year. And I don't know how you think they stack up in the SEC, but he's definitely going to be the one that carries them. Their defense is a little bit better than you think as well.
Oh, no doubt about that. Thanks a lot, my man. 410-583-1057. Let's go to Severn and get Anthony. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Just one of the two things as far as Elias's promotion. I'm not exactly sure what that entails. Is a good thing, a bad thing? If you guys can speak on that when I get off air. But also, I'd like to give a shovel to Ed North.
Oh,
yeah, how come?
Yeah. No, just as far as Bad Bunny, honestly, you could play a song, I wouldn't know it. But, I couldn't care less about the guy. But as far as him making a statement, he gets a shovel for making a statement. Because Ed Norris disagrees with him. I got an issue with that. He's standing on principle. And
I said he gets a shovel for losing money. He canceled all his concerts for this in the U.S.
So that's principles. And if you don't respect a man for principles over money, then that's something that says that's a lot about you rather than him.
All right.
So. Well, as far as the Michael Elias thing,
who's not answering your other questions?
I think if Michael Elias,
I can't have this idiot parade today anymore. I just can't. I'm not doing it.
Sorry, Rob.
Go ahead. If Michael Elias was promoted during the season, like recently, then I would be very questioned. Why would you promote him now? You trying to move him out of the way or something? But the fact that he was promoted, and I was texting back and forth to Brittany during the show, the fact that he was promoted before the season started in the offseason, coming off another successful year, it tells me it was a true promotion. They looked at what he did. They looked at the success of the team, the organization under his watch, not just winning on the field, but the school in Dominican Republic, the draft picks. I think it was a true promotion based on the success that he had. Just the timing of it all says it to me. I know a lot of people want to be skeptical about it, but they had promoted him before they knew there was going to be a ton of injuries this year. I think it was a legit promotion. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It almost feels like The Office here when they promoted Jim with Michael Scott, and Jim sees the day-to-day activities,
right,
and someone oversees big picture things. Yeah. You know, all the big that's what it feels like.
I feel like that's what it is. Honestly, I'm not a guy who watches The Office, but
no, you've watched it. I know you have.
I tried.
Full House.
I tried, man.
Sorry, Joe.
See, are you ever going to stop that callback?
No, it's great.
You know what you're going to make me do, right?
You're going to get in a fight with Joe, or you're going to watch it?
You're going to make me watch that show.
Cut it out, Rob.
Is that a reference to the show?
You know it is. You've seen it.
I didn't.
Joe, tell him he's seen it. He knows that's Uncle Joey.
Cut it out.
Rob loves Mr. Woodchuck.
I forgot about that stupid ass thing. Mr. Woodchuck.
Ed.
Uh-huh.
Help me out, man.
I just
hold on.
Have you ever watched?
Have you ever watched
Full House, Ed?
No.
Okay. Yes, he has.
I doubt that.
I
have never. Everyone's seen it. I have
not seen
one episode.
How's it feel, Ed?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Uncle Jesse has to be your favorite character.
I mean, Italians didn't watch Full House. That's what it is.
Hey,
how does it feel, Ed? No, see, this is the deal. You guys are a little younger than us, all right? It came on Friday nights. I had better things to do on Friday nights.
That was a great lineup that time period.
And I didn't watch any of it.
It was TGIF.
We established this. It was from my late teens to my almost mid-20s. Yeah,
so
I wasn't
so my late 20s, 30s then. So
exactly. Yeah. I wasn't home on Friday nights watching television, and they didn't stream back then. And that's the encore for the day, Ed.
Encore brought to you today and every day by Lion's Den. Pleasure, passion, romance. Check out Lion's Den, seriously. They have great products in there. It's like... Don't be vanilla in the bedroom. Do something a little different. And men, let me tell you a secret. They're worse than us. Just go for it. You'll be surprised how happy she'll be.
Yo, you're going to like this.
They're much worse than we are.
Ed's over here.
What do you say, pleasure, passion, and romance?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I didn't watch Full House.
Yeah.
Friday nights.
I told you. I don't watch because I'm like Lil Wayne. I like my chicks and twos. Ed's better things to do.
Ed's over here using the different line instead of Men's Warehouse. You're going to like the way you look?
Yes. You're going to like the way he licks. Hey, Lion's Den. Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. What you learned today, Edward?
Well, I went a little rabbit hole, shocker. Last Cleveland Browns championship, they've never been to a Super Bowl. Last NFL championship, 1964. I remember Frank Ryan was the quarterback. Jim Brown was the fullback. Leroy Kelly backed him up. The Browns beat the Colts 27-0. Beat the Baltimore Colts, shut him out. And Leroy Kelly signed that year, was one of my favorite players in the NFL. He signed for $17,000, which that included his bonus. $17,000. Now, that isn't today's dollars?
What?
$177,000. Mm. Not a lot of money for an NFL player with a signing bonus. Yeah.
I may have mentioned this before, but you know his brother, younger brother, was one of my mentors growing up.
I think you told me. I know I've talked about Leroy Kelly a lot. I loved him when I was my father and I used to bet on the games when I was like six. He'd take the Packers. I'd take the Browns. Little did I know the Packers were the Super Bowl champs every year at that age.
Couple of national days today. There's National Hug and High Five Day. I think I'll take the high five. Oh, the hug.
Yeah, they're both all right.
I like the high five. I need a hug today, actually.
Some birthdays in sports.
Jeremy.
Jesse Owens would have celebrated a birthday today. Ricky Rudd turned 69 today. Former boxer Wilfred Benitez turned 67 today. Former NBA player and politician Terry DeHaere turns 54 today. NBA coach for the Grizzlies, Terry Jenkins, turns 41 today. And Andrew Luck turns 36 today. Rapper 2 Chainz in basketball, Yao Ming, celebrate a birthday today. Joe, who's older?
It's too bad we can't use 2 Chainz' other name on the air. I'll go with 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz?
Chain hang like my dang-a-lang. That's Jeremy? Right. I'm going 2 Chainz.
You want 2 Chainz?
Yeah.
Ed?
I'm going to 2 Chainz. You know 2 Chainz was on 2 Broke Girls?
He's the best, man.
Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah.
Before I give you the answer, did you know 2 Chainz also played college basketball at Alabama State for 2 years?
2 Chainz!
And graduated with a degree in psychology at Virginia State University.
He also put a rabbit on a Craftmatic.
Today he turns 48 while Yao Ming turns 45.
Yeah. Ha! What are you hiding about?
We all got it right.
We all picked it. It's like, in your face. Yeah, I did it too.
That's my inner James Brown coming out, man. Leave me alone.
All right, let me start you off. What fruit does Rocky like to eat after a fight?
A durian!
Sorry. What?
That one's awful.
A durian fruit.
A really stinky fruit.
Oh. What did the nut say when it sneezed?
Cashew!
What do you call with a man? This is so dumb. What do you call a man with a seagull on his head? Cliff. Did you guys know that alligators can live up to 100 years? That's why there's an increased chance that they will see you later. I told my wife that my uncle will rest in peace. And she asked, he finally passed away. I said, no, my aunt did.
I get it.
Yeah. This one's a good one. Confucius say, man who goes through airport turnstile sideways, going to Bangkok. What do you call a man with a rubber toe? Roberto. The CEO of IKEA was just elected prime minister in Sweden. He should have his cabinet put together by the end of the weekend.
That's funny.
I like this one. It's so stupid. Bob is my nickname. Robert is my Nicholas name. You just got to think about it. It's
a second.
So stupid.
So stupid.
All right. I asked the librarian for a book on how to be a librarian. She just went, shh, quiet. I said, yeah, that one. More dumb ones. There's so many good ones that are here. Lastly, my son fell in a well full of piss. I told him, you're in deep trouble. Urine. Did you get that?
We got it.
It's pee.
We got it.
Rob, you didn't say that you learned that lemons were the cousin of limes earlier, too.
Huh? Oh, yeah. How about that?
Well, we were talking about lime water.
Yeah. It's like fruit cousin.
Yeah.
What? Oh, my, I've never heard of fruit cousin.
Thank God it's Friday. We're
so
out of here.
What would be banana's cousin? I'm just curious.
Plantains.
Orange.
Hey, orange. I like that.
Aren't you
like
glad that. I didn't
What are we
lines.
Doing with these stupid cameras in here?
So,
what's your email?
I did look my email today.
Yeah, they just sent one bait 20 minutes ago.
Oh, I didn't check it then.
Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourself
Don't yell at me.
And wonderful weekend.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.